Hey everyone, how's it going? My name is Stephen Howson, and you're here today for Howson's Brew on Stretford Paddock. I'm joined by Boosh and Patrick. How are you doing, guys?
Good, man. How are you?
How am I? Yeah, I'm good. I'm really good, actually. We're here today.
Stephen Howson, things could be better.
Well, I've got my new Stephen Howson's jacket on. I'm sat in Stephen Howson's chair. Why wouldn't I?
I'm liking the new hair.
New hair? Yeah. Lost a bit of weight, let's face it. I've lost £80 in the last week. But that's got to be some kind of record, unless, you know, other than like if you had a leg taken off or something.
We've run away.
Yeah, we're going to be talking today about Man United's midfield. We're going to talk about a bit of everything, aren't we?
Yeah,
as we like to do on this show. On this show, Stephen Howson's show, my show. We're going to start then by talking about James Maddison and Bruno Fernandes. Obviously, was it Bruno Fernandes got like three hat tricks? No.
Yeah, I do want to point out that this was against a bottom half of the table Portuguese side whose stadium isn't even 9,500.
Yeah, but United lost to Crystal Palace, so anything
and Crystal Palace would have beaten that team 4-0.
You can only beat what's put in front of you at the end of the
yeah,
day.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know, I just, the whole Fernandes thing is just, it's almost like United were never bothered by him, and then it's being used as a rod to beat
absolutely.
Us. With. Like, why don't you just pretend that we're in for Messi and then complain every time he scores?
We were reporting here from like fairly early that we knew it was nonsense, and that we knew that the Portuguese, as it became clearer to us that it was just the Portuguese press sort of making it up, we were saying so.
Yeah.
And there's I think Bruno Fernandes is a very, very good player. And especially when he sort of plays in the Portuguese team, he looks very good. But there's probably a reason why United, Liverpool, City haven't actually gone and got him.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Liverpool want an attacking midfielder.
It's not just United.
Liverpool want an
attacking
midfielder, right?
Real Madrid need that position.
Tottenham.
Yeah, exactly,
need that position.
Especially if they're losing Eriksen.
And all of these teams basically didn't go after him.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is all... I think people are correct in saying that he's a very good player and that, you know, United should have probably been interested in him. But to say that, oh my God, and in comparison to the rest of the midfield, he's a lot better. But you can't point out to him scoring, getting three assists against an awful team, a League 2, League 1 level sort of quality team as evidence that he's a good player. Really, I don't think.
No, probably not.
You keep on seeing all these rumours about it's his passing accuracy that lets him down, like 75% pass accuracy, and you think, well, he's fitting perfectly with
it. It's not too bad, is it, compared to United's players.
But I think for me, James Maddison, who's the other midfielder who we're linked to before the summer, really, early summer, that sort of withered away, basically because I think United messed it up.
Are we missing a sort of player of that position,
absolutely,
of that quality
in
the squad at the minute?
Definitely. I think at the minute, I feel that Paul Pogba is playing deeper to try and compensate.
It's just to do everything, doesn't it?
To compensate for lack of forward playing and creativity.
Yeah.
And I think if we had an extra player in there who could pass forward a lot more and be a bit better of a ball, then I think we'd be a lot more sort of fluid going forward.
Yeah. It's like, because he's our best player, we've just gone, right, you're going to have to play defensive midfielder.
Everyone knows who to
because no one else can do it.
Playing
as
this
deep
line playmaker is not Pogba's best position. We all know Pogba's best position is as an attacking midfielder, right?
Uh-huh.
And we are not able to exploit that because we have to play him further back. And I think that comes back to the real weaknesses in our team, which is that we have a lack of creativity.
Mm.
We lack a true central defensive midfielder, like a proper quality one. And we also lack a true right winger. And I think we saw all that and display at Crystal Palace. Chelsea highlighted the positives to our team, that quick counter-attacking football that was quite clinical.
Mm.
Crystal Palace highlighted the true negatives in our team, the complete lack of creativity.
I saw a stat on Reddit today that basically said in the 14 games that United have played under Solskjaer, 14 of them they've had more possession than the opposition, 14 have had less. And I think we won 6 out of the 14 where we had more possession, and we won 9 out of the 14 where we had less possession, which goes back to your point of when we're not counter-attacking, we'd struggle to break teams down, which we have done for 6 years. Like,
it's a complete lack of creativity.
City and Liverpool have found a way that the teams sit back against them and they make runs through, and they make, like, when you watch City play, every time someone makes a run, they pass the ball to them. Like, we have so many runs that go unseen. Yeah, not even unseen, just like we just see the run and we don't pass
it. We know we can't make it.
City, they have like a few seconds where the players are static, someone's on the ball, someone makes the run and they just pass it every time. Like, they trust the run and they trust the pass.
And that's why we need a playmaker for those situations. It'd be great if we had a playmaker who could also be involved in the counter-attack as well. right? Like, at the moment, if we look at the club, you have Juan Mata, who probably was a better choice than Lingard for that game. And so not by no means is he first-team quality either, nor is Lingard, but he's a better choice for that game, where he's more technically gifted, more creative, although he's not... He's past being like what you'd want in a first-team player. So he probably should have been playing that game instead. You've got Gomez, who you want to see, but there's no evidence that yet that he's going to be amazing, but that he's got the creativity to somehow sort of carry that team, which is why we need that attacking midfielder.
I think we need to sort of really push to evolve our game style a little bit more, because like out wide, I sometimes feel as though our fullbacks almost get to a threshold where they need to pass it or take a man on, and they never do it. I think our fullbacks maybe don't overlap as much as we could.
Yeah, because like I said, we're talking about playmakers, but like Zinchenko and Kyle Walker,
they
are making those passes
in
as
the
well,
half spaces.
They,
yeah.
They pass the ball to De Bruyne, who just whips it in time and time again, and that's how they get. It's not all about playmakers; it's about making the runs and trusting the runs. As we've got Stephen Howson in the chat here saying, "Is Jesus wearing my bleeding jacket and all the betrayal?" Yes, I am wearing it. I'm sat in the chair. I'm wearing your jacket. I'm using your laptop stand. I'm charging my phone on your phone charger. I've taken over since you weren't here. You betrayed us by not being here. So I thought I'd step up to the plate and wear the jacket. Sorry, back to
football.
He's in the chat.
We don't normally talk about football on this podcast,
well,
so
I'm
it's
sure
not really relevant.
Talk about football for all of it, but you've got to start somewhere, haven't you? Mm-hmm, and obviously, losing to Crystal Palace deserves some sort of address from us. It's not like it's just playmakers that make those passes. Like at Liverpool, the way that Trent and
Robertson
have sort of taken on up this mantle of being like Robertson is a great. They're both really good defenders. Really good. Sort of fullbacks, but they've had to learn to
absolutely.
Be great at crossing. They've had to learn to adapt their game to suit that style. There's no reason United fullbacks can't get better at crossing.
There's no reason
have better position.
There's no reason why the United forwards can't do that either, right?
Exactly.
Which because Rashford, as much as I love him, had an awful game against Crystal Palace.
Yeah, second half he gave the ball away.
Had an awful game. He hasn't shown the creativity that perhaps you want from your leading striker. He's shown, I think, this season he's pretty clinical when he gets a chance, and I think he'll continue to grow in that development, but you want to see him develop a creative side to him. Martial as well hasn't necessarily shown that he's particularly creative at times. And Daniel James was great when he was on the left, but doesn't always look like he has it in the final third. It was a great finish.
Yeah, I mean, there's no in that. You can't say that he had a bad game.
No, he didn't have a bad game, especially when he was on the left.
And he scored a great goal, and I thought looked like our most dangerous player.
Absolutely, which is why I think he's probably going to have to start on the left now. Because when he was on the left, he looked double the player that he was when he was playing on the right. And I think we were saying on the watch-along, has Martial being injured, sort of lost the right to dictate where he gets to play. So what you're probably going to see is Daniel James maybe on the left, Rashford up front, probably Greenwood on the right against Southampton. But the question is whether we are creative enough to not just make those runs, but to find those passes.
Well, what you've got to think as well, though, is you talk about whether we're creative enough, whether we're good enough. Crystal Palace scored two against us, and they're less creative than we are.
I mean,
we've got better players than them.
Our defending, it has to be sorted out because that first goal is disgraceful.
Yeah, the first goal was bad.
One big boot of the pitch, wins a header, and Maguire and Wan-Bissaka and absolutely no man's land.
But it happens. Like, they were two mistakes, ultimately.
But the problem is the Premier League, you get punished.
Absolutely. But we were watching the Premier League years early in the day. You saw Vidic have an absolute howler against Liverpool in 2009, 2010 season.
It's every week now.
And we won the league, but it's not every week now. Like the two weeks previous, we were fairly solid defensively.
Chelsea could have had a couple of goals.
Yeah, they could have, but they didn't. In the same way that Crystal Palace shouldn't have had a couple of goals, but they did.
Yeah, and that second goal, the Palace goal, the winner, Wan-Bissaka tackled Zaha in the box
very well.
The ball bounced. We got in a bad position, but they were somewhat fortunate that the ball just fell straight to Van Aanholt. Like we got a tackle in the box that could have easily just rolled out, and Maguire could have cleared it. There was a bit of a bad luck there.
With the Van Aanholt goal, even more, it's the fact that De Gea just laid.
Well, yeah, that as well. But goalkeeping mistakes are going to happen.
Yeah.
So it was a mixture of bad things, and obviously we deserve to concede.
I feel as though, in a way, the De Gea error, it looks bad. I mean, it was bad. But I feel in a way as though that's almost a little bit of potluck from that far out, because he was about 8 to 10 yards
and
out.
Smashed it as hard as he could.
Yeah, put his head down.
Yeah, they're hard. They're
hammered it as hard as you could at him.
Yeah, in slow motion, it looks like, why don't you just put your hands there? But yeah. In real life, he has to. He could have easily, just as easily, gone across goal.
Can you imagine the reaction speed that you have to have to try and save that?
Yeah, it was harder than it looked, but still, you would expect him to save it because of
that. Well, we just got to hope it doesn't sort of. IU goal, and particularly the Van Aanholt goal, were just sort of like blips in what will be the return of David De Gea to his best. Because I think, you know, beginning of the season, especially against Chelsea, I made a couple of good saves against Wolves. He's been good. But there is a danger that you don't want to see him slip to the sort of form that we saw at the end of last season.
We expect so much from him, don't we? Because when Jordan Ayew went in 1-1, we're back in mind and thought he's going to save us. And he didn't. Yeah. And you just say, he's gone in. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Well, I think, we just got to make sure, like you said, that he doesn't go back into the form he had at the end of last season, because that was literally part of our demise, the fact that we couldn't keep a clean sheet to save our lives, so...
Yeah, I think, we were talking about Dan James before, I think he seemed to get a lot of, hate for, celebrating his goal and stuff. What do you think to that? Do you think it's fair for him to celebrate a goal in the 90th minute, or do you think he should have just ran and got the ball out the back of the net and carried on?
I mean, I guess because it's early days in his United career, he wants to make the biggest impression that he can. And he scored 2 goals in 3 games, which is a brilliant return so far.
He's as good as Rashford.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, in the 90th minute or 89th minute, when he equalised, you sort of do just want to pick it up and say, right, we go again.
Yeah, or, I get it.
I think there's an element of, I can understand why people are annoyed, right? Because any player, it shouldn't just be a Manchester United player. If you're pushing for something, if you're top of your league, you're around, you want to be in and around that sort of area, that top four in our case. Every point is valuable, and you want to show that fight by going and grabbing a ball and getting restarted immediately. Now I understand it's what his third third competitive United game, and he scored his first one, but the goal he scored against Palace was not a worldie, but it was very well taken, very well taken.
I think it was.
What made out of nothing? Really.
It was close to being.
Yeah, right. made out of nothing. Brilliant goal. If it's a bit further out, it's a worldie.
Yeah,
it's a great, great finish. I don't want to knock that, but you do want to have that thing where it's come on now. Which is where Rashford might be the same age as him, but as a footballer, Rashford's more mature in the sense that
but Rashford's been playing for United since he was 18. I personally can't. I think if you're criticising a 21-year-old who's just played for Swansea, who's come to Man United and he's scored his second goal in 3 games, if you're criticising him for celebrating any goal, even if we're 3-0 down, I mean, obviously he wouldn't celebrate like he did, but how can you criticise a young lad who's playing his third game in top-flight football in his life? You criticise him for celebrating a goal. You're looking for scapegoats here. He's not the right man to scapegoat, is he? I'm not arguing with you two necessarily. It's more the Twitter people
who are like, this is a joke, he's a disgrace.
He scored.
If Martial does it...
He made a goal by himself, scored it and celebrated it. How can you be annoyed at that?
If Martial does it, it's iconic.
When you were when you're in the stands or when you're at home watching the game, did you not celebrate the goal? Did you just stand there and go like that? Get the ball out of the net. You cheered and scored like everyone else. I didn't even see his celebration because I was celebrating. How can you be offended by it?
In front of Stratford End as well.
Yeah,
I mean, everyone's going well.
Have some sympathy to it, guys.
He's scored in front of Stratford and in every game he's played at United.
That's true.
It's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, yet more evidence that Daniel James, number 21 shirt, Daniel James, 21 years old, Daniel James is going to score 21 goals, 21st title incoming.
21, yeah. We're going to win the league this year. That's clear.
Plus last season, Man City lost at home to Crystal Palace and drew with Wolves at the Molineux.
Oh, that's it, isn't it?
Ole Masterclass.
Yeah. Because every time that someone wins the league, it's a series of strange coincidences, back to back to back, that lead them
there's
to that.
There's never a case of being the best team in the league. Nothing. It's just coincidences.
It's just hope that history looks like it's repeating itself.
Same way that we won the Champions
League. Tenuous reasons.
We won the Champions League last season because it was 20 years.
Because it was 20 years.
Yeah,
when we won the Champions League last season, that was one of the happiest.
When Ole came on.
He came on the pitch and he scored
the winner. I mean.
Yeah, a lot of people still don't believe it happened. It seems like a dream, but. I remember it happening. And it's because it was 20 years since we
lost. Yeah, I can't believe they changed the venue to the Nou Camp. And we played Bayern Munich as well, who were out. And there you go.
Oh, they brought them back in just for the final. You remember that, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Amazing.
What a night it was for all involved.
Oh, no. Was that the anniversary game at Old Trafford that I'm thinking about?
Don't talk about it.
Oh, no.
Get your comments in as well. Obviously, it's more of a sort of relaxed podcast today. So if you get some questions in, we'll be happy to answer.
Steve's not here, so we can actually enjoy
ourselves. No, he's gone now. He came in, slugged off his own jacket, and then left. I can't believe it. Yeah, well, he's the Newton Heath. I don't think that's his real name. says we have the rights to criticise Dan James celebrating his goal as we're not winning. I get it, but you celebrated as well, didn't you? We talk about players who want to play for the badge, who want to be fans, uh-huh. who want to be excited to play. Like, a player celebrating a goal, come on, have a bit of sympathy.
But I do understand. I understand why people might be frustrated with it, but you're right. First and foremost, he's 21 years old, playing his first game for United, scored his second goal for United. A brilliant goal.
Yeah, brilliant goal.
Scored in front of the Stretford end. Come on, man. Yeah. Like,
it is a really valid point, Mo, that you make. You know, we celebrated it. We were absolutely crazy when it went in.
Like, I literally didn't see him celebrate.
And it's literally him who has scored it. Exactly.
How can you not listen? It's like saying, lottery winners shouldn't celebrate their win. Like, what are you talking about? He's just done something that so few people get to do.
The lottery winner can't celebrate his win because there's still poverty. So he can't be happy.
Someone said here that they're worried about Ole's team selection and subs. One thing we talked about, Greenwood on Sunday, and I think it's a lot of pressure on him, but he
made subs early.
He wasn't necessarily as crucial as people thought it would be. He didn't really get in the game that much, did he, Greenwood?
That really surprised me, you know, our substitution, because I expected one matter. I mean, we don't really have many game changes on that bench, but I expected one matter to come on earlier.
And I think that's the problem more with his substitutions, right? Is that so it looks like he's gone, okay, I need to throw people on earlier sometimes.
Yeah.
So threw Greenwood on earlier. I was so happy when he did that. I was like, good, if nothing else. He's prepared to put people on earlier than he has before. But I also think that it's not his fault that the bench players aren't impactful. It's not his fault that he has to rely on a 17-year-old kid.
Yeah.
It's not his fault that he has to rely on a over 30-year-old central attacking mid who's past his best days.
Yeah.
It's not his fault.
No. What matters getting to that age where, like, a middle-aged woman where he doesn't tell anyone his age. Over 30? Early 30s. I'm in early 30s. He obviously wanted more players. He clearly wanted a central midfielder.
Exactly.
He clearly wanted a winger. And I think he wanted, based on interest in Dybala and Mandzukic and whoever else, he wanted a striker as well. Like, this isn't the squad he wanted. He's putting on a brave face because last season, Mourinho started the season by saying, my squad's shit.
Yeah.
It's rubbish. And everyone hated that.
When Mourinho was... Ole's trying to be optimistic, yeah, which is all you can be.
Which is better than, yeah, like,
I feel
last season was set for failure no matter what.
I feel as though we have, like, some of our fan base have a common misconception with Juan Mata, because they almost feel as though, because we've never seen him play in his natural position, really, at United, they think, oh, he's going to suddenly turn into that player he was at Chelsea.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I won't allow any slander of Juan Mata.
We won't allow it on this channel.
I will. I'm a scary man.
We've got a young Ander Herrera here. We'll come and take your legs out if you're saying about Juan Mata.
Brexit Ander Herrera, no less.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's more scary. But for me, Juan Mata, don't get me wrong, he's not a first team player. And in some circumstances, he's not even on the squad. But I think he's just a fantastic player to have at the team. He's a fantastic player and personality probably to have in the dressing room, which you need,
yeah,
and which I don't think we have enough. We have a very young team now. We need the veterans who have won a lot of stuff to be there to guide these people through. And I think Juan Mata is one of those players who can help guide Gomez, for example.
Yeah, I think he's definitely good to have in the dressing room. Like, there's no doubt about that. But the idea that he's the one to turn games around
can't happen.
We need to be better than that. We need to have more options than
He's going to be very useful to have, but he isn't the impact player that
Speaking
we want.
Of impact players, we've got Chef here. He's saying...
What's he making?
He's cooking up a question. I can see that much.
There we go.
It's a tasty one as well. He says, what do you think will happen in the January window? Will we sign, sell, both, or nothing? What do you reckon? What do you want to see and what do you think we'll see in January? Because obviously it was alluded to at the end of this window that we can continue our recruitment in January if the right targets become available. What do you think?
What I want to see is a James Maddison-esque player coming in, and some of the Deadwood leaving, namely a Rojo, a Smalling or a Jones, probably a Jones, who aren't even in the squads anymore, aren't even in the travelling squads anymore. So I'd like to see them gone. You normally only want to bring in one player in January because you don't want to upset the squad too much. So if you have to pick a player, say we can survive without the right, we either bring in a CDM or a central attacking midfield. If we bring in a CDM, Pogba obviously plays forward.
Yeah.
If we bring in a Cam, then whatever. But like a James Maddison-esque player is someone I'd want to see who we can then have a three-man midfield that can rotate and do a bit of everything.
I mean, I'm the same in that sense, but I feel as though we need some plan Bs as well.
Yeah.
Like, striker-wise.
That's a really good point.
It's literally in behind or nothing, so we could do someone who's got a bit more of an aerial presence.
We were talking before about Llorente, weren't we? Which obviously isn't the sexiest option. He's 70 years old and he's crap. but he's quite good in the air. You saw it in Europe for Tottenham last season.
Yeah.
There is still a threat there. There is. He can get goals. He's got good positioning, and he's something we don't have.
He provides an important role. Mm. You have him for a season. You give him a season contract, and then yes, you know, you go. You throw him on in the last 5 minutes. We're losing 2-1 to Liverpool at Anfield or something.
Talk me through it, boy.
Right?
2-1 down.
2-1 down.
Llorente comes on. Who are we bringing him?
Llorente comes on. Pogba's on the. Llorente's come on for Lingard.
Oh yeah.
Right. Pogba's sort of on the edge of the box. Oh. Floats a beauty in.
He chips it.
Llorente head, bottom corner, past Alisson.
2-2, and he doesn't celebrate because it's 2-2.
No, he doesn't celebrate.
He just runs and gets the ball.
You know what happens? You know what happens? Daniel James then collects the ball, scores.
He's made up for it. Just stands there like that. 3-2 against Liverpool. Perfect. And that's, I mean, only paying him 400 grand a week, probably. Give Llorente 400 grand a week. Give him a 5-year contract. We want him until he's 50. That's, honestly, you could imagine that. Man United signed
Llorente. But cult hero status.
3 years or something. No, he's on 200 grand a week. What, we've done it again. In the comments, write down what players you'd like to see. Your one player that we could sign in January and the one player that should leave in January. Let's see.
I'd like whatever left back as well.
Yeah.
Because Ashley Young got absolutely rinsed by Zaha when he got one-on-one with him.
Oh, it was good. And
you literally just knew straight away about Zaha would literally run all the way to the side of the pitch to have him.
There's a guy in the academy, and I can't remember his name.
Ethan Laird.
Fullback, yeah, who's supposed to be...
Brandon Williams as well.
Who is, and Laird, I think it is, who is supposed to be this guy, you know, isn't first-team quality yet, not even squad quality, but will be.
Yeah.
Will be probably within a season or two. So you want to look at him. I always imagined Kieran Tierney in a United top when he was good at Celtic, but whatever, that hasn't happened.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I think the thing is, it seems as though Luke Shaw has been trusted and he's been we're going to go with him as our left back. It's a backup that we need.
Yeah.
And as unpopular as this may be, I thought Ashley Young was quite good against Palace.
He was.
He got skinned that one time by Zaha where he just stirred him.
Yes.
Stirred the
pot
for an hour.
What he noticed is that Daniel James actually went across to the other side to help cover him.
Oh, that could be a good
one. Because Daniel James does track back and do a job defensively.
I didn't see any stats on how many times he won the ball.
But he does it.
He must have. I saw him certainly win it 3 or 4 times. Mm-hmm. Tackles and interceptions.
Again,
Dan James,
Daniel James down the left.
That speed.
Daniel James down the left.
Yeah.
Was a very, very good player.
So maybe that was why they put James on the left to cover Young.
But then he also is naturally a left winger. He's not a right winger. Mm-hmm. So he looked a lot better. And I think, you know, Ashley Young will probably do a job as our reserve left back for the season. But then you're going to be wanting, right, okay, what do we do now? Yeah. And maybe that by that point, Laird is like, yeah, we can do this now. Which is why I like the fact that we're playing in, like, you got the young players playing men's football in the Checkatrade or Leasing Trophy or whatever they now call it. Mm. Because, you know, it gets them ready quicker. He's not going to be afraid to going up to, like, a 30-year-old footballer now and giving them the old back.
Yeah, getting them in the proper men's game. A lot of comments in here, we've got Ben Arthur. As a bit of a field suggestion of who we should get in.
What do
you
reckon
to that? No? Okay. Apparently not.
Who'd you play for?
Nice? No.
Ruben Neves. Nice,
I think
he seems a popular choice. A lot of
Ruben Neves is very good.
A lot of Madison, one of the centre backs out. Rojo gone, Neves in. Yeah, I think Neves.
Neves would be a good one.
He's very slow, though. There's a chance that he comes into United, someone just tears past him through the midfield, and all of a sudden we're going.
What I quite enjoy about him when he plays is that he literally just gets the ball straight out his feet and then bang it forward.
Yeah.
Because he's used to playing that quick transitional sort of press with Wolves where they sort of go forward so quickly that you barely have any time to recover.
I think the only way that we're getting a Neves or a Madison, okay, so these Leicester, Wolves, two teams who have ambition and want to be competing for top six. If, say, Leicester drop off and are like ninth, and a ways off sixth, and you know Brendan Rodgers has been sacked or something, and the dream of top six
so
is dead.
Many bad
that's
have happened
so,
at
so but that's up. That's the only way that you're getting a net or a similar thing happens at Wolves. That's the only way you're getting those players away because otherwise
we have to spend 90 million on them.
Otherwise, the attraction of being at a team that's on the up with a good manager. Neves, especially in a team that with a lot of other Portuguese players who he's mates with, James Maddison with like other players who he's mates with, like it's very hard to then take that player away, especially if we're like, say we're like joint on points with Leicester or Wolves come January. Why would they move?
I'll tell you why, because Man United, regardless of what position they're in at the minute, is the biggest name club in the world. They'll earn twice the money they're on currently. And maybe Neves has dreams of playing in Real Madrid, but usually most English players, you're not going to see James Maddison most likely moving abroad.
Madison's a United. I mean, Madison's a United fan as well, which is why it's a transfer that I think will happen.
A player like that. I think the more the difficult would be convincing their club to sell him rather than convincing the player to join.
We've got to a stage in the cycle now of football where you can't boy the smaller teams. And that really, that you have to get him there earlier. So, for example, Harry Maguire, no, he didn't happen because Leicester wanted such an extortionate fee.
Yeah.
And I think that like, you almost have to get him earlier either between the two breakthrough goals like Hull, or you have to get him straight away.
Yeah, which is why we tried to do with Dan James.
Which is why I'm interested in what we've done with Dan James. Because he has performed well. You can say what you want about some of the dives. So he's definitely dived a couple of times, there's no denying.
I think he dived once, I don't think he's dived twice.
The dive that he was booked for, which is in the Crystal Palace game, that was just not a dive because he kicked him in the back of his knee. Which is why that's interesting. I do want to see us do more of those decisions, like you're saying. Mm-hmm. You need to do what Liverpool did with Robertson. Mm-hmm. Find him as they're about to break through.
He was 24 though, or 25. It wasn't that young when Liverpool signed him.
And the player won't always be young before they become world class. Like you enter your peak, 24 to 27 ish, 28.
Yeah,
that's your peak. Harry Kane didn't blossom until he was late.
Yeah.
You know, Lingard became good enough for the first team a couple seasons ago. Last season, but not really now, when he was older. You know, a lot of players blossom late, so...
Yeah, the players definitely blossom late, but I think you usually see the potential of a player by the time they're 21, 22. Like, I can't think of too many players that have...
Robertson's one of them. He would have been picked up by a big club.
Yeah, you would have thought so.
I guess we're in such a time where you see on Twitter all these young players
The
Stade Rennais player, 16 years old, running
he's now going to be bought for 40 million, then be a flop.
You see Mbappe, we've been and seen that before, World Cup winner, carried France and helped them to win it. And I think
you're not given time or chances,
we need a bit more patience, really. I mean, because the last thing we can afford to do is just rip things up and start again.
Is not do that. What we got on here? January's too far away. We should be focusing on what's going to happen until January.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
It's a good point. Yeah. But obviously, we've only got the players that we do have. And I think, you know, this squad, unless we get loads of major injuries, it's still good enough, certainly, to challenge top six. And you would hope to challenge top four. Like, Tottenham lost yesterday. Chelsea have dropped 5 points already, like United have. Arsenal have dropped 3 points already. Like, all of the other contenders have lost at least one game already. Like, it's not like we're miles behind. And we're going to see the same thing we saw last season. Like, toward the end of the season, everyone was saying no one wants top four because everyone's trying to throw it away. It started the way it ended before. Like, there's a lot of good teams in the league now. We need to not...
And it really isn't out of the question.
We're
going to
be 30 points behind City and Liverpool again.
That's fine.
And as much as I hate to say it,
it's not fine, but that's
what it's going to be.
Yeah.
So you've got 30 points to drop, and you're still challenging for top four. Which every time you drop a point, you get scared and you're nervous, and it feels like it's the end of the world. But we're going to drop a lot of points this season, as hard as that is to say, and we just have to sort of
accept it and move on,
not shit ourselves every time we do. Mm. Yeah, it's a difficult one.
These are always going to be the testing times of a rebuild, because obviously, we naturally have a frustration through having United winning stuff for years. Do you know what I mean? So, really, we've just got to try and stay positive throughout it and try and just get behind the players and manager, as difficult as it can be. I think we just got to try and get ourselves on a little bit of a run, because I think that's
how it'll happen.
The way the league's going at a minute, if you get yourself on like a 5-6 game run sort of thing,
you'll be up there.
Then you literally just pull away.
Yeah, and you look
I agree.
If you look at rebuilds as well, people talk about a rebuild like it takes 2 years.
Yeah, because Real Madrid is going well.
Look at all of the rebuilds in the Premier League era, other than Ferguson, who somehow managed to maintain a top team for 25 years. Arsenal are still in the rebuild that they've been in for 15 years. Liverpool have taken 30 years to rebuild.
Yeah.
City have only ever built once. Chelsea are the only team that won leagues, went crap, and won leagues again. Like, they're the only team that's had a quick rebuild. And it's because they spent £1 billion. Like,
every time.
Rebuilds take... People think they take 2 years. They take 10 years.
Yeah.
And that's hard to say, but... No one turns a team around that.
And
quickly.
This is it, right? So those Chelsea rebuilds were short-term rebuilds. And then they would fall apart. And then you have a short-term rebuild again. Fall apart, short-term rebuild again. I would much rather have a little bit less success for the next 5 years for a guaranteed decade of being up there, if that makes sense. Which is what I think we're trying to do now. We're trying to have a long-term, genuinely united rebuild. And I've got a lot of time for that. I've got a lot of time for, I don't know whether we'll get top four or not. I've got a lot of time though for finishing fifth, but integrating a lot of the youth players and winning a Europa League, winning an FA Cup, something like that. I've got a lot of time for that. If we're integrating youth players, because I know that that means that next season, top four will be a genuine, real, like almost certainty. Then I know that moving forward, performances in the league will pick up as we get better and better and better. I've got a lot of time for like a little bit less success now for more success in the future. I don't, you know, we're not going to challenge for the league next season. We're not going to challenge for the league the season after that. Except that, but if we don't have a long-term rebuild, we won't challenge for it in 5 years' time either.
Yeah, it's we have to sort of accept where we are a little bit, right. Which is hard to do.
It's going to be interesting to see what route we take towards the end of the season. Whether, because obviously the Europa League draw is this Friday, isn't it, at Monaco?
I believe so.
Who do you want to get?
I want the weirdest, most out there teams.
Kazakhstan, whoever, Algeria, all the furthest ones away possible. Yep. It's horrible.
I just want the sort of French teams and stuff like
Monaco,
that.
Belgium.
No. I want the craziest, wackiest teams we can possibly get.
No, you don't.
Why not?
Because that means...
Because it's the squad, isn't it?
Yeah, the squad are doing like 1,200-mile round trips or 2,000-mile round trips.
Europa League is fun for the sense that you get these teams that you would never otherwise play. You go to hostile atmospheres.
I want to see limbs and scenes.
Well, you can have like Zorya Luhansk at home where we won 1-0 for a missed kick Rooney shot and dropped to Ibra. 30,000 people turned up. It's got an atmosphere like soccer aid.
You know, I'm not happy about being in the Europa.
Yeah.
I'm not happy about being in the Europa League. I don't mind it as a competition because you get to see some good football. Like, I remember when we went, when we were in the Europa League under Fergie and we went out to Athletic Bilbao, the team that had Herrera and Llorente in. Biesla's Athletic Bilbao. That team was excellent. Like, and played really good football. I enjoyed watching it because you were in it.
That's the era of Ander Herrera that you look like. Bilbao, 2013.
Bilbao Herrera.
He sent his interview as well. That was when he first realised he was joining United.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's what... When you did it.
I think we
bring Herrera back. Can we bring Herrera back? Have we got a buyback clause?
I don't think so, no.
He's a young talent.
He's injured now, and he's even played for PSG yet.
I'm not sure.
No, it's crap. But the reason why he went is because we kept on delaying our contract talks with him, and he obviously has a family. And he's like,
the man's got a family, for God's sake. How can a man expect to only earn £120,000 a week? This man's got bills to pay.
Yeah, I know.
I earn double that. And I'm still struggling.
Some people will think that because YouTube money and all that.
Yeah, imagine. Yeah, absolutely not. But yeah, I earn what, 200 grand a week doing this?
Yeah.
And I spend it all.
How can a man earn 200?
Only earn 150 grand a week. It makes me sick.
Us interns get like 300 minimum.
Really?
Yeah.
God. Alexis Sanchez must be struggling, wouldn't he?
300 grand a week, bless him.
But Alexis is struggling to feed his dogs on 350 grand.
Well, it's difficult because he's got two dogs. People say, you know, 450 grand a week's a lot of money. He's got two dogs. You forget about that. Do you know how much dog food is? That's at least 70 grand
poo
a week.
Rattan
per
Humber.
Per pooch.
You'll be seeing him on the TV adverts next trying to donate.
You have to feed your dog raggy beef as well. Like, you have to.
That 400 grand a week is too much money. It's some peanuts, isn't it, these days?
It really is.
Yeah, for God's sake. Someone saying Celtic would be a fun trip. Can we get Celtic?
Oh, that'd be excellent.
Cool. I'd love
a Celtic away.
It's always hostile when you go there as well. It's weirdly self-half and half United
quality.
Celtic scarves outside
the ground. Because it's the whole island of Manchester United links. The only half scarf I own is a half island, half Manchester United scarf, and people hate me for it, but
half
I don't care.
Half island, half Manchester.
Yeah.
When did that game take place?
Years ago. No, it's because of the historical links between Irish immigrants in Manchester and Manchester United.
A million miles better than having a club half and half.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So that's where a lot of that comes from. But a Celtic away day would be a good-hearted, proper shouting match.
Yeah, I watched the Celtic game when Nakamura scored. Was it Nakamura?
Oh, that free kick.
Incredible goal.
Nakamura had ridiculous free kicks.
6-7, that one Champions League group stage.
Yeah, I went to see that game. That was a pretty good game with like loads of Celtic fans in the United end and stuff. And like I said, exciting.
I know what he saved, didn't he? By Boric.
Oh, I forgot all of it.
It was...
We'll raise that part.
But that would be a quality game.
Yeah, that'd be good. Someone says here, guys, Man United talks, please. We've only talked about Man United the whole time.
Like, I'm a bit confused.
We've not mentioned anything else. We mentioned Alexis Sanchez's dogs.
And the Europa League. What shows which apparently...
Yeah, exactly.
Also, the Europa League needs to stop bantering us on Twitter. Because it's getting bad now.
Everyone needs to stop bantering everyone on Twitter. I'm sick of it.
No, but like the Europa League will just tag us and tweet us about stuff for no reason. And it's frustrating.
When they tag us in and you're going down your timeline, you're like, right, refresh.
I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that.
I just mute everyone. Mute everyone on Twitter, that way you don't get upset about it.
Yeah.
So looking forward to the Southampton game. Let's have a little chat about that. What do we want to see?
Goals and a win.
Goals and a win.
Simple as that. Goals and a win.
I mean, Southampton looked a bit dangerous on the attack. So they've definitely got, you know, they're back to being a team that can probably score against you.
I don't think they are. I don't like Southampton.
They play fight.
I don't like Southampton because their stadium sometimes isn't full. But that's not their fault.
No.
I like their current manager. I quite like him.
I don't like him because I can't say it. So
Hasenhüttl.
I like it now. I can't say it.
Austrian, is he? Is he Austrian? Yeah, he's Austrian. Yeah, I quite like him.
I like it.
I think, you know, I think. Who did they play? Yeah. Was it Brighton they played?
They look
all right. I think it'll be a competitive game, but again, no excuses. So we should win.
Nothing in particular. It's just as simple as it needs to be a win, no matter what.
If you remember last season when we went 2-0 down, equalised before half time, didn't even try and win the second half. We should be better than that.
I'd like to see us adapt the way that we play against these teams that will sit off us in this game. Through Ole selecting different players, I think there does need to be a bit of rotation.
Well, someone on here, Chireu, saying, should Gomez start next week? Would you start Gomez?
He maybe should, yeah.
Do you think it's too much of a step up? I think...
On the bench. I want to see him on the bench, but it's a massive step.
The same thing with the Greenwood thing. Like, people don't realise how big a jump it is from playing...
It's not FIFA.
...playing for the under-18s and playing for the under-23s. Playing for a struggling team in the Premier League. It's a difficult step to make.
Something that I think maybe we could start doing is maybe... It's a bit of a strange suggestion, but with people like James Garner and that, if you maybe were to play him in like a role next to like someone experienced like a Matic, but have Pogba right in behind the striker or something.
Just try and feed him in with experience,
but you don't know how good they are until they play.
Yeah, because imagine how good Mata would look. Imagine how good Rashford would look playing for the under-18s.
Exactly.
Mata, someone who doesn't even get, you know, Lingard would look so good playing for the under-18s. Mm-hmm. And people say he's not good enough for the first team. So that jump is so big.
It is a big jump. You can only prove
yourself by being given that chance. But I think people underestimate. People like to sit at home and just say, oh no, why isn't this guy playing? This would change everything.
It doesn't.
Do you think Solskjaer doesn't consider playing Angel Gomez? He knows how good these players are. Yeah. And obviously, people manage to make mistakes and not everything they do is going to be right, but they have the same ideas as we do.
And it takes
time
to correctly sort of put these players into the squad and into the way that the team plays. So you throw Gomez in, starting 11 next week. He's getting bullied in the midfield. Fact of the matter. Do I want to see him on the bench?
What?
Do I want to see him on the bench coming on for 20 minutes, 10 minutes? Yes. Do I want to see Garner starting an FA Cup tie against whoever? Absolutely yes. Do I want to see Gomez, Garner, Chong, Greenwood playing a lot in the Europa League and the getting sub performances and playing a lot in the League Cup, the FA Cup? Yes, absolutely I do. The Premier League is a completely different ball game, which means that we're probably going to see the same starting 11 minus Martial, which means probably... Lingard's going to start, although I do think because he hasn't had a particularly good start to the season, Lingard.
We talk about
to say the least. I think you will see Mata there, and I think we have no choice but to go. Hey Greenwood, Hey Greenwood,
it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough because when you think of how Southampton play with their back five, and then you think, well, Ariel, they're sort of covered because I think that Vestergaard's about 6'5" or something. And they've got like,
and we've proven in the last couple of games that
we can't do anything.
An aerial threat isn't there at the moment.
So
is it?
it's gonna be tough, and they're quite quick on the break because they've got Che Adams now and Nathan Redmond and a few quick players who can cause problems. But it's
Newton Heath on here saying, any update on Luke Shaw and Tony Marshall injuries? I don't think there's any official update. I saw an article in the Guardian today saying that Sanchez has moved to Inter, has been sort of. What's the word? Not put on the back burner, but it's in doubt due to Martial's potential injury.
Both are scams, isn't it?
But surely we knew that one of these players could get injured. Like,
which is why for me selling Sanchez was stupid. If we're going to be paying most of his wages anyway,
just keep
him in the squad, keep him there or thereabouts, because it's very useful to have a player who's played in the Premier League, who can play in a few positions. And yes, he's obviously had an awful Manchester United career, but we still need him right now. That's the state of what it is, and we're going to be paying most of his wages anyway. So, like, what's the point in having him go to Inter Milan when we might as well get our money's worth? If we're going to be paying, if we're going to be paying 300 grand, let's
pay 500.
Like, well, we might as well just pay the extra 100 grand to keep him here.
Yeah. Johnson on here saying, hope Luke Shaw is out for a while. He's fat and slow.
Great.
But what I would like to say, if anyone hasn't seen, what's his name?
Wesley Snyder.
Oh, yeah.
He's a bath now. He's a human bathtub. Retired 2 weeks ago.
Do you think we're finally going to sign Snyder?
He has literally done the Big Smoke GTA food order. It's gone to
it's
number
like
45.
He's just been eating Scooby-Doo sandwiches. You know those like 40 little sandwiches? He's just been doing that every second since he retired. We can't put it on here, obviously. Google Wesley Snyder, fat boy 29.
On another tab.
Sensational.
On a separate tab.
Wayne Rooney's going to do the exact same thing, but it's just a body type.
Rooney's absolutely going to do that.
I thought Snyder could keep it off.
No.
He's a big lad.
Do you think we could finally sign Snyder now?
I think we could fit him in.
You think if we offer him a few Big Mac meals, do you think then we'll be able to...
Yeah, just play him as a sweeper, just taking people...
I think he'll be signing for Weight Watchers next week, not Man United.
Yeah, exactly. Working in a drive-thru.
He's in trouble, I think.
Honestly, I can't believe how big
he's been waiting for that day to come retirement.
Imagine
just
how much he's been looking forward to. It's probably been like, for the last couple of seasons, just writing down a list.
Burger.
Jim Gibbs, write that down. Doritos, write that down. And then the first day, just goes to Tesco, buys all of it.
Yeah.
Oh, imagine, you know, people say you shouldn't go to the supermarket.
He goes to Dutch Tesco.
Imagine the first time we go to the supermarket after you've retired. Just so much lager.
You put your hand along the aisle and your trolley.
Oh, he's not been able to eat chocolate for 20 years, and all of a sudden he's just gone absolutely mad. So many Haribo Star Mixes in there. Amazing.
Yeah, not sponsored.
Abbe's saying here, have we all forgotten about Fred? It's interesting, isn't it? Fred is just not on anyone's
list. So,
if he didn't go for his supposed wedding...
Wait, it was, yeah.
Supposed wedding.
It was a sham.
He had something going on last year as well.
Maybe he likes getting married.
I think it was a bit naive is probably the right word, because if he wasn't a starter last year, then he does something that's going to make him miss pre-season this year, and then he's not like up to
when should
season.
He got married, like 2 weeks before
he should have got married, after the Premier League season is over. That's when people do.
I don't know why.
Yeah,
he could probably buy a wedding spot off someone knowing it.
But didn't Harry Kane get like married soon after?
Yeah, Harry Kane's Harry Kane though, isn't
you know
it?
But anyway, I think for me, I want to see Fred, but what do you have then? So say you replace, you put Pogba further forward, you take Lingard off, you play Fred, you put Pogba further forward, you play Fred alongside McTominay. That's a midfield that can get bullied.
It is a midfield that can get bullied, but I think, unfortunately, all of our midfield options can get bullied. Like, Matic can get bullied for pace.
Pogba's not going to be bullied.
Pogba got bullied for the last goal.
He didn't look used to rough and tumble Fred last season.
He didn't.
He avoided a lot of ground, so he gave away some horrendous goals.
Some passes like 30 yards out. Just
so what do you think?
Nice, easy pass into him at Brighton, loss of ball. Nice, easy pass to him at Wolves, loss of ball, conceded goal.
Because you go through stages.
Got poked away at Bournemouth. If he wasn't good enough last season, he's got a lot to prove.
But there's no way, again, that a player who's been out of the squad suddenly starts playing first team football. That's not how it works. He would have to be on the bench for a couple of weeks before you can actually consider playing him.
Yeah,
you know, I think he's been playing in the behind closed doors friendlies that we seem to be doing.
Yeah,
a decent number
Sheffield United last week.
Yeah, which is a very interesting thing that we seem to be doing, and I quite like it.
We used to do that a lot under Ferguson. I remember we used to have behind closed doors friendlies fairly regularly, especially early season.
It's a good thing to do because it means that we are thinking about getting players ready for first team football, for Premier League football.
And also it sounds cool, doesn't it? Behind closed doors.
I want to watch
it's like something risky's going on. Like, what's going on behind there? Why can't we go?
Don't you really want to watch
doors?
I want to really watch
it. In my head, it's not
closed doors.
The doors to like a cool nightclub. It's not the doors to like some sort of training complex. They're all in there like doing like a behind
the red
doors.
The Red Devil nightclub.
People are playing good players.
Are we allowed to see?
Because so sexy. Pogba went and met with Ravel, didn't he? Ravel Morrison.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're obviously playing good players in them to try.
Yeah.
Did they scrap PL2 or something like that?
Premier League. I think Premier League 2 is still a thing, but I think it's United and specifically Solskjaer who likes to do things that like they used to do back in the day. Is trying to bring them back. Like he went and played a game at the old training ground. Remember, like coming up to what game was it? The City game.
Yeah.
Yeah, went and played a game. Didn't work. But it's it's an example of the type of history that Solskjaer likes to throw back on. The BT thing, the BT score prediction, which you've done the last few
it's
didn't get any. Don't think it got anything right this week. You can get it online if you look it up.
Someone's put the old PDF on.
Oh, here we go. Here we
Chuck
go.
Chuck us that, lad.
This is the old BT score.
Every single result. Load of rubbish. Here we go.
Isn't it? It's almost as though stats can't decide who's going to win the Premier League.
That's almost why we shouldn't sign Bruno Fernandes, because we've got three assists against League Two Portuguese side. Here we go. Right, game week
Chelsea
three.
Chelsea won't be top of the league at Christmas, like it says.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. Chelsea top of the league.
So, game week three. United were supposed to beat Crystal Palace 5-0.
Oh, that happened.
I wish.
Right, West Ham was supposed to beat Watford 1-0. They didn't. They beat him 3-1. Brighton 1, Southampton 0. That didn't happen. Everton 2, Aston Villa 1.
Did they get any right? Because that's, I mean, they got them all right.
Oh, Newcastle beat Tottenham. So that's note. Burnley didn't. You know what? They predicted Burnley 2, Wolves 1, Burnley, which is closer to what most people predicted. And they deserve to win 2-1. So
they
I'll give them that.
It, and that's all that counts. It's like Sports Day at Prime.
Liverpool to beat us.
Tried harder than Wolves, so they should have got a medal just for that.
They said Liverpool was going to beat Arsenal 2-0, Liverpool beat them 3-1. No, because you can't script football, and stats are not the deciding factor about what makes a good footballer.
Right, we're going to end it there, I think. I've very much enjoyed today. We've just got a final word from Majestic saying we don't have Housen, but we got Frodo Baggins, which
and Samwise Gamgee.
A great thing to end on. Frodo, Samwise, and a very young Gandalf. That's going to be all from us today. Be sure to follow Sheffield Paddock throughout the week. Obviously, we're going to have all the build-up to the Southampton game and loads more fun stuff like this. Everything, podcasts, you name it. Right, thanks very much for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Cheers.
Cheers, thank you.